Hello and welcome. You are listening to the teaching ministry of Coastal Oaks Church in Rockport, Texas. It is our hope that you will be encouraged and that your desire to follow Jesus Christ will be challenged and strengthened as you listen to this podcast. For more information on location, service times, and what to expect on your next visit, go to coastaloakschurch.org. Now, grab your Bible and study along with us as you listen.
Part of Texas, Corpus Christi, the whole valley, and Laredo, and south of San Antonio. That is the area that I am working for SBTC, visiting the churches and sometimes preaching in different churches. So my wife is here with me. It's my beautiful wife all the time. We have been in the ministry for 34 years, working as pastors and missionaries. Thank you. We have worked in Mexico and as well here in the States. And as I told you, I'm from Mexico. And one time I was preaching in a church and a lady asked me, "Are you legal?" And I said, "Yes, sure." So don't worry about that. I have dual citizenship, so I can work here and also in Mexico. No problem with that. So I'm very happy to share with you this morning the God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to pray this morning asking you to give us your Word in our lives. We need you, Lord. Speak to our lives. Speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was walking in my backyard, checking the trees that we have, fruit trees, and I saw a beautiful butterfly. And that remembered me some story. The story of a kid that went to visit his grandpa, and he had a plant in a pot. And the kid saw something there, and he asked, "Grandpa, what's this?" And the grandpa says, "That is a caterpillar in a, how do you say, a cocoon." Oh, cocoon. Thank you. And then he asks, "And what's that?" So the grandpa explains that will become a butterfly. And then the kid asks, "Can I keep it?" The grandpa says, "Yes, but I need to explain you something. You need to take the time because there is a process till the time is coming when the butterfly is going out. And one of the things that you should do is do nothing with that. Just leave it go, how it goes." So the kid every day was checking the plant, and one day he saw the butterfly trying to go out, and he was seeing the great effort, and he thought, "Maybe I need to help it." So he tried to help it a little bit, and finally it was out. But this kid saw that the butterfly never opened the wings. And he went to his grandpa and asked him, "What is happening with the butterfly?" And then the grandpa says, "Did you do this?" And he said, "Well, yes, I told you not to do that. And now, never the butterfly is going to fly. Because that butterfly needs that process to get the strength in the wings." So that remembers me something in the Bible. If you can open your Bible, you have your Bible or your cell phone, whatever you have. In James chapter 1, we are going to see this morning something about how to face life, all the trials, the problems that we are facing every day. and how we can change our perspective about the trials that we are facing every day. And I want to share with you in James chapter 1, mainly we're going to focus from verse 3 to 11 to see three things in which we need to learn how to change our perspective about the trials in life. The first thing says in James chapter 1, verse 3, and I'm going to read verse 2 as well. Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And we know that this is patience. So the first thing that we need to do is we must learn to have a different perspective. Usually we have, before the problems, before a problem is coming to our life, we have a way to do everything. And almost all of us react in the same way when we have some problems. But when we are talking about the problems, it's a challenge for us how we can face every trial in our lives. And we are going to have a lot of trials in our lives, different trials every time. And one of the things that the James is telling us is this, in verse 3, because you know. And I like this verb in the Bible because this verb is in the tense, present tense. So that means you should to know right now. And it's something that is a reality. It's something that is not something that I am supposing that is going to happen. It's happening right now. You know. So maybe at this point, you are facing several trials. And everyone here is facing several trials. And the Bible says you need to recognize that. That means that we are facing problems. We can't avoid. And it's not good to say, I don't have problems. You know what? I have a lot of problems. I have different trials. Some small, some bigger. But I am facing different trials every day and every week, every month. It's part of our life to face problems. So we can't avoid. We need to recognize that we have some trials facing every day. And that is not the problem. The problem is my focus and that. And this is what James wants for us to learn, how to change our perspective facing the trials. Because the trials are there. The problem is my perspective on trials. Because sometimes when the problems are coming to my life, the first reaction is to say, why, Lord, that trial is coming to my life? I sing for you. I work for you. Why I am facing these trials? So the Lord wants for us to change our perspective facing the trials. And this is what James wants to teaching us in this part. And one of the things that the Bible says, and it's teaching us, and the question is, where this test of a faith is coming, and it's from God. And I need to know that the Lord is testing my life. I don't like tests in school. I still study, and I don't like tests. I remember when I was a kid, all the time that the teacher says, Tomorrow will be a test. I didn't sleep in that because I was afraid of the test. And I don't like tests. But everyone, every day, is facing different tests. But we need to think, who is putting this test? It's God. He's testing our faith. He wants for us to grow. So that is something that we need to learn. Look at the Bible, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Sometimes I don't think, facing the trials, I don't think about the purpose of that trial. And I need to know that the Lord is testing my faith to produce something in my life. So in that way, trials are good, because those trials are going to produce something good in my life. And this is a changing of perspective, because if I don't want to face the trials, I never will have a good fruit in my life. But facing trials, the Lord is going to produce something in our life. One of the things that we know about God is that every time in the Bible, we can see people facing trials, but the Lord was with them all the time. So if we are facing trials right now, the Lord is with us all the time. And his promise was, I will be with you all the days to the end. Do you believe that? I believe that. The Lord is with me all the time. He's with me. He's with you. So I can face him, the trials, because he is with us. We can see that in the Bible. Do you remember Joseph facing a lot of problems? One problem, another problem, other problem. But the Lord was with Joseph all the time. So that is the example that we can see in the Bible. Now, what is the result of the trials that we are experiencing? The Bible says here, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. James says that it's patience that we are going to have. He uses the word produce. And when we study this word in the Bible in the original language, it is a word used in agriculture to indicate that if I plant a seed on the ground, it's going to take time to produce a fruit. It's very interesting. We have some tree fruits in our backyard, and I was telling my wife, we need to wait 1 year to have oranges. And we need to wait 1 year to have another fruit. It takes the whole year to produce a fruit. And we need to wait for that. It's the same thing that the Bible is saying. In order to have patience, it's going to take time. Going to take different trials. Maybe we need to ask this question. What is the fruit of the trials I have faced? What is the fruit in my life, in all the trials that the Lord has allowed me to face? Because sometimes, I was talking with one of my teachers, and I called him. He's 80 right now. And I asked him, how are you doing, brother? And he said, this month has been not a good month. I had a lot of problems. And he said, I hope I pass the test, because I don't want to be another month in that test. And that is what we need to ask. It is a fruit that has produced the trials we have faced. Because that is the purpose of the trial, to have fruit. In this case, it's patience, the ability to face the trial and every difficult. So we need to have the attitude of the patience to say, all right, Lord, I need to face all the things that I am facing right now with a good attitude. And this attitude, it's only to receive the produce of the Lord in our lives. Let me tell you this. There is a process in which we need to enter to receive from the Lord the patience. Let me show you something here. Do you know what is this? Yeah. Could you imagine to be inside of this? No one of us wants to be inside of this. But you know what? We are in the real life, maybe inside of this. Some of us. And it's a lot of pressure in our lives. And I have been inside sometimes. I'm very sure that you also have been inside of this. And this is the first part of the test, the trials that we are facing. And now, this is a papaya from our plants, our tree in backyard. And it's green. It's not ready to eat. It takes time to get ripe. And it's a process. I would like to have ready. I can guarantee that when it's ready, it's very sweet. We really enjoy, my wife and I, especially my mother-in-law, really enjoys eating this kind of papaya because it's delicious. It's very sweet. But it takes time for that. It's a process. It's what the Bible is saying. Produce patience. I would like to explain something here in the Bible. In verse 3, I am speaking in Tex-Mex. It's what we speak usually in the Bali. Verse 3. Because you know what the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Let me tell you what James is not saying here and what he is saying. When he says to be complete, it's to be perfect. It does not speak of a person who is without errors. He's not saying that. It's not the idea of somebody that has It's not talking about that. That kind of person that it seems like is not touching the ground. No, it's not talking about that. He's not saying that. What he's saying, what James is saying, it has a relation with the context that we have seen in the patience. And what he's saying in this part refers to be mature, to grow in life. The what he's using here is what I show you with the fruit. We have the fruit, but it's not ready. It takes time for that. And that is what James is telling us in this part. And In order to be perfect in all the process that is here, he said, and let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Complete, the word used here, James is using a word that is means that it's complete in all the phases, different phases. It's like the word for the diamond when it's cut in all the phases. The expert is checking all the phases of this stone, beautiful stone, to be if has been cut perfectly. So what James is telling us, we need to be mature in all of areas of our life. Sometimes we are mature in one area, but we are lacking in another. So the Lord is allowing us different trials to work in all the areas of our life. We can be really a Christian here at church, but maybe at work we are having some troubles. Maybe at house we are having some troubles. It's not very easy to be a Christian on Sundays at house, right? At home. Because we are saying, hey, get ready to go to church and eat breakfast. And all the members of the family are running for all the times. Finally, we are very angry against each other. And we are coming in the car. Nobody is talking to the other. And we come to the church and, hey, peace, great peace we have. So maybe we need to work in that area of our life. So the Bible is telling us that the Lord wants for us to be mature in all the areas of our life. That is the reason, because the Lord is allowing us several trials in our life. And the Bible says, lacking nothing, without missing anything. This is the climax of the process in which God wants us to arrive. What this means when the Bible says lacking nothing? Let me explain something in this part. Let's say that I have a problem, and I am praying, Lord, help me in this problem. Let's use the example of Joseph. When the brothers of Joseph throw it to the well, maybe he started to pray, Lord, I am in a big problem. I am here. Please save me from this. And then, or that is something good to pray. Lord, I am in this problem. Help me in this problem. And then he was sold to be a slave in Egypt. And he was that. And maybe I could pray exactly like Joseph. Lord, save me. Save me. I am in an enemy country. Help me. But you know what? Sometimes when we have a problem, when we are here in this, we start to pray, and I'm going to use this letter to be the example, and I am here in this part. Help me, Lord. Help me. I am in this problem. And I believe that passing the time, Joseph continued praying, Lord, help me, save me, and I want to thank you because I have food, even in this problem. And next day or next week, passing the time, Lord, save me, and I want to thank you for the food, I want to thank you for the life, and I want to ask you something. I need to forgive my brothers for that they did with me. and he was healed. And then he continued praying. Lord, thank you for all that you are doing in my life. You are God. You are the Lord. You have a purpose for my life. What was the focus at the end of the prayer? God. And James, what he's telling us is that we need to face the trials till the point that nothing is lacking in our life. And that means my focus changes, and now I am seeing the Lord in all the aspects of my life. It's not longer the problem I am facing. And when I am in the middle of that problem and I have going in all those steps, when I come into the church and a brother says, how are you doing, brother? No longer I said, well, I am in the problems, and but I am blessed. The Lord is working in my life. How are you doing, brother? The focus is not me, it's the other people, because the Lord is working in my life. I don't know if I can explain this, but the Lord, when he says in the Bible, at the end of the verse, lacking nothing, it means to focus in the Lord. Could you see that? The Lord allows us to face several trials, different problems, to produce in us patience. And then it's not only patience, but to go growing to the point that the Lord changes our point of view, and now I can see the Lord in all the things happening in my life. It's no longer why, but now I can say the Lord has a purpose for my life. And I think that was what happened with Joseph. And at the end, the Lord, when he was lacking nothing, he was ready for the purpose of God. We would like to be at the end of the trial, but we need to go in the whole process. Now, something that we need to learn, that the Bible is telling us here, is what says in verse number 5. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously. Something that we need to have is the virtue of wisdom. We need to realize that it's not only the attitude to change our perspective, it's not only the process to be in all the trials, but I need wisdom, the wisdom of the Lord. The Bible is telling us here, and what it is saying here, when the verse says, if any of you lacks wisdom, that means that some of the people in that congregation were facing the troubles, the trials, without wisdom. That could be the same thing for us in this moment. So I need the wisdom of the Lord in my life. And I would like to share with you how we can have the wisdom of the Lord. The first thing is that we need to understand that wisdom is to see all the things with the eyes of God. In other words, I am not seeing the trials with my eyes, but with the eyes of God. That is wisdom. When I say, well, Lord, what is your purpose right now that I am facing this trial? That is wisdom. How I can obtain that wisdom? There are three ways to receive the wisdom of the Lord. Here is how we can have the wisdom. The Bible says in this, ask God. So the first thing is by asking directly to God. This is praying. Lord, give me wisdom. That is something that I can pray. Lord, give me wisdom. And I can pray for that. That is the first thing. The second thing is reading the Bible. When I am reading the Bible, I can have wisdom from the Lord. David says in Psalms 119 that he obtained wisdom just reading the Bible. So the second thing is reading the Bible is the way that we are going to receive wisdom from the Lord. The third thing to receive the wisdom of the Lord is to have the fear of the Lord. That means that to read in the Bible, I understand the character of God, and I said, God is in this way, and I can worship him because he deserves that. And that is the fear of the Lord. When I respect the character of God because he is God, I am not questioning God. I am saying just he is God. He is doing all the things in the way that he wants to do. And I accept that. I recognize that he sent his son to the cross, and that is enough to give me salvation. And when I learn these things from God, I have the fear of the Lord. So the three ways to receive wisdom is asking to the Lord by prayer, reading the Bible, and having the fear of the Lord in my life. And then we can have the wisdom to face the different trials that we are facing. To have all these things in our life requires the wisdom, because he's saying this. But to have the wisdom of the Lord is to ask him, reading, and to have the fear of the Lord. But the Bible put a requirement. You need to have faith. Ask with faith, saying, Lord, I'm very sure that you are the Lord, and what you are doing is enough for my life. And I trust in you. I trust in you. I can't imagine Joseph in Egypt. He had to have a lot of faith every day to face for several years, waiting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord. And that is the kind of faith that the Lord is asking us for us. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we need to exercise our life in faith, to say, Lord, I trust you. If that is what you are having for me, if this is a trial that you are sending to my life, I trust that you have a purpose for my life. And I will stand before you, praising you, worshiping you, and saying, you are the Lord of my life. That is faith. And that is what the Lord is asking for us. And he said that we need to pray and ask with faith. Because if not, we are not to have the wisdom of the Lord. And he's speaking later about a poor man and a rich man. What means that to have faith, to face the trials, it doesn't depend on our financial status. The money is not to change the things. I can have a lot of money, and maybe it can help me to do something, but it's not to be the deep change in my life. I knew a lady that had a lot of money. And she had one of his sons. I think he was the smaller of the sons. And it passed a lot of time without seeing that lady. And one day I saw her son-in-law and asked him, "How is your mother-in-law doing?" And she says, "She's doing well, but you know, she lost all the money that she had." And I said, "What happened?" And he said, "She lost all the money paying the courts because his son was in jail. And she paid to take off from the jail her son. And he went again to jail, and again another problem, and problems. Finally, she lost all the money trying to solve the problems of her son. She could take off her son from jail, but not resolving the problems in the heart of that young man. So that is what James is saying. It's not the money that is to resolve the trials, the problems. What is going to bring a change in our life is to have the right attitude before the Lord, to change our perspective, to recognize that we are in a process that the Lord is allowing us to go, and to have the wisdom of the Lord to face the different trials in our life. So I would like to encourage this morning to remember these things. Three practical principles in our life. We need to have the attitude of changing our perspective to say, "Lord, I'm open to change my perspective of you, of the trials. I am not going to question in you why I am facing this trial. I received that, and I'm very sure that you have a purpose for my life." Second principle, I need to recognize that to mature in life is necessary to enter in a process. In that process, sometimes it will take a lot of time. And also, I need to have the wisdom of the Lord to face all the trials in my life. Do you remember about the caterpillar and the cocoon? How is the is right? Cocoon? Do you remember that? Maybe, yes. That's great. So maybe we need to remember that. It takes time. And sometimes we need to be in that process in order to be strength in the Lord. Without those trials, maybe we can be strong in the Lord. So I would like to encourage this morning to recognize that all these things can be possible only when we open our heart to the Lord and we said, "Lord, you are my Savior. I recognize that you died on the cross for me." And I don't know if somebody here this morning that never has opened their heart to the Lord, and this is the opportunity to say, "Lord, I need you. I need you." And if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, maybe this is the time to say, "Lord, I need to change my perspective of trials. I need to recognize that sometimes I don't want to be in the process, and I need your wisdom to face all the trials in my life." I hope this can be an encouragement for your life. May the Lord bless you this morning.